Anybody who thinks they understand that?
Generates C code. That C code is targeted to a standard simulation interface, a simulation backplane, if you will. Call it the VHDL kernel interface. It's a formally documented set of calls that a simulation kernel has to support. Then there is a mapping layer between the creator kernel and that VLK interface. That maps the VLK calls that are being generated by the C code into the equivalent call in the creator kernel.
So I guess the answer is yes. If I have a VHDL view file somewhere, that I can get that to the point where creator can take it.
Correct.
Okay, great.
If I could come in there, really the key to some of this is whose VHDL front end did you end up buying? Okay. Because I'm sure Ken might want to amplify on this again, but VHDL comes with a library system of some kind. That's one of the things that's built into VHDL. And under VMS, say, you might implement the library system as a series of files, and somewhere, presumably within that library, we store the intermediate form.
As a matter of fact, we do in our VMS implementation.
Right. So the question is, if you bought a synthesis tool mentioning no name Synopsys that didn't read the same, that didn't use the same library tool or the same library setup as one of your other tools, then that gets into what I was alluding to in my presentation, that the guys might have simulated and debugged one architecture and forgotten, you know what hardware engineers are like, right? Sorry. Forgotten to resynthesize with that version. Because there is going to be some form of import-export involved between the two library systems to make that happen.
Thank you.
Let me comment on that. If you are using a VHDL simulator which uses the CLSI front end and hence has the VTIP library, one of the tools that comes with that is a VHDL generator. What that does is it reads the library representation and regenerates a canonical form of the VHDL text. So if you wanted to prepare input for, say, the Synopsys tool, or any other tool that uses a different library system, in fact, the Synopsys tool has no library system at all, and that's another topic. If you want to prepare input for another VHDL tool, you can use the generator to do that. One very natural way to use a tool like the Synopsys tool is to build on top of the VTIP library system a subset checker that performs all the checks to see if it fits in the Synopsys subsets before you transmit it downstream into the Synopsys processor. In the case of Synopsys, that's fairly critical because the Synopsys compiler doesn't give good error messages. It just does things wrong if you give it bad input. So you really do need to check it ahead of time. Now that's why they bought the Zycat product, so they could use that as the front end checker for their design compiler. One more point with regard to configuration control. Much simpler than writing a subset checker is writing a tool which simply labels the elements in a VTIP design library to indicate that some process has been performed on that unit. For example, that it has been transmitted and synthesized. The representation is very readily extensible. It's an object-oriented representation. You create your own objects and add them as attributes to anything in the VTIP representation. So it's that kind of integration is readily done with the VTED database. Of the existing VHDL tools, those that have library systems are that are accessible externally are ours. The Valid tool has a library system which is partially documented, and so does the Vantage system. Library system. The Synopsys tool does not. The Zycad Synopsys VHDL simulator has no accessible, externally accessible library system. So you can't get to that library system. We're the only people who have a VHDL generator that can read the compiled version and generate a canonical source from that.
Any other questions?
The DeckSim, the creator software, how portable is that in terms of DeckSim? Is there any way currently planned to move the existing and extensive DeckSim model library?
What's that I can do with that mic? It's broken.
To, over to Creator?
We're exploring with CLSI.
What about net files, NET files, DeckSim net files, structural? Or do you consider that part of the BDS language?
At this point, we consider that part of the BDS language since VHDL does have, structural. It has complete abstraction level capability, so probably include that.
Jim, what did you say the time frame was for vSIN?
The time frame for vSIN is we're expecting to have some kind of beta test vehicle in mid-September. That's primarily due to the fact that we're layered on a lot of CLSI tools, both the analyzer and SIN prep. And that puts, so most of the work, 90% of the work is done for us. It would have not been possible to do that if we had to start from scratch. I'll say that's, during the break, two chaps in a van which had Synopsys on the front try to run me down in the parking lot. So assuming that doesn't happen between now and September, we should have something with me.
The use of VHDL in going into manufacturing was mentioned but not really spoken much about. What's the status of that? Is it currently being used to transfer information into manufacturing, or what's its future with Creator or so forth?
I was just pointing out the fact that in the past, because of the model of incompatibility between the design groups and manufacturing groups,
it was
arduous to go from design into manufacturing and get the designs up on the L200 series type of testers and so forth. VHDL is going to smooth that out because since manufacturing vehicles today, still vehicle is there. It's a matter of choice. The employees are, which is historically been with the VHDL front end. So, in a way, the VHDL is providing a modeling backbone across the product design process. So, different organizations pick the simulator choice that meets their needs without having to comply with some other organization's modeling constraints or something.
With any luck, it might also be true that the guys in manufacturing might more easily be able to pick up the design, because one would hope that the VHDL is more easily understood. I mean, you can model index in BDS and netfile today, and certainly BDS, there are some ambiguities that you can introduce quite easily, where you can come back to that design and without actually running it through DECSIM. And even then, it might be non-deterministic. You might be lucky on one day or simulate one day another. So VHDL, I think, I'm not aware of any such, well, certainly timing ambiguities. So just because it's a standard, it ought to be easier to communicate the information. It's really, I think, leaving on to what Mike is saying.
Paul?
Jim, question for you in particular. On the last of your slides, you had something listed for integration called VHDL View. What exactly is that?
VHDL View is a file format, actually. It's a persistent data structure. And it's the file created as a result of using an analyzer that's based on CLSI's tools. In fact, CLSI's analyzer. There are many industry tools, and the gentleman from CLSI can tell us about which ones they are. There's many simulators and other VHDL tools which use CLSI's analyzer. So all of those tools use the same CLSI analyzer and create this common representation. That representation is then used for simulation or synthesis or whatever else you want to use it for. Does that answer your question?
I have a couple of questions that I think are related, I believe are related. We've talked, some of the earlier presentations, we talked about standardization and qualification. And my question is more specifically, are any of you or the groups that you collectively represent, the digital people, looking to create a VHDL model verification / library? And the second question, or second part of that, is will that contain a standardization set that was talked about by the first presenter today, in order to qualify vendors' versions of VHDL and simulators and whatever?
I think there's an in terms of the simulatability of a model, as long as your simulator implements full 1076 VHDL, that should be okay. Is that what you're asking?
How do we qualify? How do we know if I'm going to go out and I'm going to bring in Teradyne's VHDL simulator? How do I know that their simulator is going to meet Digital's needs? Are we going to have some kind of qualification package that allows either me to go off and measure them, or is there somebody who's going to tell me, represented perhaps by one of you or one of your groups, that vendor X, Y, and Z meet this standardized set?
If I may paraphrase, the issue commonly is that a vendor will say, we support 90%, 95% of the full VHDL spec. Which 5 or 10% is not implemented? And if there's not some central, this, by the way, is not my idea. This is his idea. But I think it's a good idea. If we were to come up with perhaps a subset of those standard test cases that Ken talked about earlier on, which is, you know, a useful X percent of VHDL that can be made known and understood by different design, documented, that is. We could run, you know, Teradyne's simulator on this test set and Genrad's and so forth, and be able to say they pass 100% of this well-defined set. And then as long as people could read and understand that well-defined set, they would at least know that they have a sort of digital-compliant version of VHDL.
Actually, I completely disagree. I'm going to tell my vendors, if it's not full 1076 VHDL, don't come try and sell me it.
Well, that's fine, too, as long as there's some metric.
Okay.
So that,
I see what you mean. In terms of ADA, if you take the parallel with ADA, and it may not be completely fair, and Ken may best comment on this, but with ADA, there's a compliance suite that in order to call yourself a conformant ADA or a compliant ADA compiler, it's called the ACVC, whatever that stands for, you have to pass those tests. And the VASG, I believe, are working on a similar set of tests, which I think Ken actually alluded to in his presentation.
There is a verification suite for VHDL simulators. It was produced by a consortium of CAD vendors under the sponsorship of Virginia Tech, Virginia Polytechnic Institute, State University. The principal there is James Armstrong. It is not anything as thoroughgoing as the ADA verification, the ADA, what do they call it?
ACBC.
Qualification. they're very, very strict and very large qualification process, not just a test suite, but a whole process whereby the test suite is run and discrepancies are accounted for. There is continued interest on the part of National Institute of Standards and Technology in creating such a standardization effort, a validation effort for VHDL processors. There's continuing interest on the part of the DoD. There's just no money for it. A very expensive thing to develop. As we speak, the best we can do is the Armstrong suite. And that $2,000 that you pay for it goes right back into improving the suite. He's got no profit motive.
Let me comment further. Certainly, as a fact that we have a library group within my organization, we would entertain doing any of that testing as far as the simulators go. But I think your question was something else also. If you obtain a model of a 386 from Intel, and they're all good people at Intel, and they do the VHDL model very well, but there's always that nagging concern as to which version of the 386, is this a D or an E or an F? And we would certainly entertain doing that validation test. It may very well rest better off in components. If you ask me how we do that verification test, one of the best ways of doing it would be to take an LMSI system, I'm assuming the chip's available, put the chip in it, and then bounce the software and the hardware modeling simulation against each other. It's probably the best way of validating the VHDL model. There's still a concern you have to run enough tests, yeah, you know, to make sure that it's valid. And one would think that component engineering, wherever they are today or who they are today, would entertain doing those kind of tests. If they don't, certainly I'd stick my hand up as being willing to perform those validations. Now, when you come down to a chip that doesn't exist, in reality, and there's not much you can do. Depending on, you've got a written spec, you've got a VHDL implementation, and if there is some form of formal verification that existed today, then that would be one way of approaching it, but there really isn't. So if the hardware exists, we can qualify the model.
If the hardware... if I may, you also have the vehicle of another simulator. If you've got the model in Dexim today, or you can develop it in Dexim, and you've got two models, one in VHDL and one in BDS, beat the two of those together instead of a part if you don't have a part.
Sure. I mean, there's a couple of ways you could go about it. I would have to question if developing a full 32-bit CPU model in two different modeling languages and beating them against each other when you may run into actual simulator differences rather than you may get yourself wound up in those instead of the fact they're producing comparable results. Certainly, if the part's available, I think the hardware model approach is probably the best way to verify it. That may not be simple either, but it's certainly a way of doing it.
The worst case, we're no worse off than we are today, where we can get a model out of the Simlib guys, and we'll use it, and then if we find a bug, we'll get them to fix it. Now, I understand that's not a satisfactory answer from the point of view of guaranteeing the quality of a model, but you know, in reality, I think there's a limit to how far we can go down that route.
Yeah, I would think though, as we bring in third-party models, even if they're logic automation, that we really need to perform that kind of a model verification qualification test. Those kind of models that are that significant could have a tremendous impact on products and product schedules. I mean, today, quite frankly, we just are not capable of providing that level of models. We usually end up with bus level, you know, out of SimLab, just simply because I can't afford 6-8 months of development time for a model that may be used on one or two projects. The ROI is just terrible. But if we can buy them externally, then you're absolutely right. The qualification process must exist.
The problem is ongoing. I mean, about the model accuracy. You know, even today, you know, I've spoken to people that has used the LAI models there, and the complex model is not bug-free. You know, so I mean, while you're doing the verification, you're actually verifying the model at the same time, and that's always been the case.
I'm sure everybody has anecdotal evidence about the quality of the models they've used.
Yeah, you know, I also think that it could make a lot of sense to do some of that qualification centrally. You could amortize the cost off fairly quickly. rather than this group doing it, and then, all, geez, these guys did it 4 months ago. I mean, we have to communicate so that we don't have any of those overlapping qualifications.
If I look back over 13 years of simulation here at Digital, one of the things I think we all know very well is that everybody's done their own thing. Inherent in that is a replication of cost over and over again, of resources and manpower being used to solve the same problem over and over again. And in this economy, in this day and age, in Digital's current approach to things, I look at this group up here, and particularly USS ECAD, if that's what you're still called, and say, somebody ought to take the lead here and say, these vendors and these models are the ones that Digital can bet the farm on, because that's what we're doing, and that they will work. And when they don't, there's a group to go back to help get them resolved, whether it's working with the vendors, negotiate those big contracts, and save us a ton of money. I hope somebody stands up and decides to leave. There he is.
I agree. I agree to that.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, I've had ongoing discussions with Bill Latton at Logic Automation for about 5 years now, trying to make it work with Dexim. And we're going back to Logic Automation within the next month or so after I move to MSO, get that out of the way, and also the other vendors on the list, and go back again. And this time, it's not a Dexim rock that stands between us. It is simply, how do we make this work in the most cost-efficient manner with the highest quality and the fastest response time? And I'm going to go and do that. I just hope that I have the support of many groups around Digital to go do that, because, to be quite frank, that's going to cost some effort to do. So, but I'm already taking the lead in making that happen, and if people want to work to our group for that responsibility, I've raised my hand for it, and I will do it.
Thank you.
I have a question for both the panel members and the people seated. It's a perception that I have that the test problems that we've had on designs for many years haven't gone away, and everyone knows that they've gotten worse as the density of the chips go up faster than the pin count goes up. There's a test problem that is perhaps made in some senses made worse by logic synthesis rather than better. And I don't see any particularly good solutions out there to the problem of ensuring that our designs are easy to test. And I am interested in looking into that area. I'd be interested in hearing your perceptions about whether that's a problem worth solving. Automatically, by through semi-automated means at least, or whether that's something else that perhaps shouldn't be looked at or should be handled always manually or whatever.
Well, a fundamental aspect of modeling that ties in, I think, with what you're talking about is the representation of unspecified and unpredictable outputs. And now I can profess extreme ignorance of VHDL. How do you model, do all low-level RTL-type models and the behavioral procedural ones naturally? Does everyone include a three-state binary data type so that you can easily express undefined or don't-care levels?
Well, states types are user-definable. One of the things that, and there's nothing intrinsic in the language reference manual that says thou shalt handle don't cares this way, or undefines for that matter.
With a library of models, though, and does
with a library of models, there's the opportunity. Well, there's a number of efforts which have been undertaken to establish standards or conventions, let's say, instead of standards, conventions for types. Originally, a few years ago, there was something called Logic 4, which is basically 0-1 UZ type simulation, and that's apparently seen the end of its useful life. Now there's, I believe it's MDL-7, a seven-state semi-standard. There's no standards for how you're going to represent that. One of the things we need to do when we're going to embark on putting together a model library is decide on a standard for Digital that we're all going to use. So we're not going to have, so we'll be able to take model A from this group and model B from, or at least have a standard set that we can be supplied from a central library group. Certainly we want to be able to have the ASIC Center models use the same state representation that are used elsewhere.
I guess you might be telling me that the VHDL compilers don't allow you to declare default type mappings and have them transparently hook up models with disparate type systems according to a defined mapping. It's not going to be that easy.
Depends on how you write your model. You can go some of that way. I can imagine writing a model with in a particular way with generics that would help solve some of that. But at the end of the day, you're right. It's not easy to do. The worst case scenario, though, is you end up with a module where you've got models from four different vendors, say, who have adopted four different modeling standards. You would then have to write, three packages of conversion routines and build the netlist that incorporates them in one of those formats and go through some level of pain to do that. Now, that's not going to be pain-free.
I call it unacceptable. I mean, my schematic editor doesn't automatically add to the netlist these conversion boxes.
Right. What I'm saying is that I think one of the reasons I recognize that one of the reasons that I was really harping on about the tight integration of schematics with VHDL isn't the sort of level that vendors are talking about today where they can generate a VHDL netlist, because to be honest, that's not what we're after. We're after the sort of things that you're talking about, where there has to be the level of integration between the model and the schematic represents the interconnection of those, where the schematics editor is smart enough to understand this was modeled with Synopsys MVL 7, but this was modeled with Vantage's 47 state, or Colio's 47 state, and that there's some conversion needs to be inserted there. That's what I'm saying. The vendors today don't have a realistic view of what real-life VHDL will involve.
I think the point should be made that as we begin to potentially develop a centralized VHDL library, it should allow us the time to say, here's what I want to purchase from you as a model vendor, and if you don't live to these specs or the models in VHDL, then you're not going to play in our ballgame. I think it gives us an opportunity to at least attempt to come up with a standard for digital that acts as, if we're going to purchase from you, this is what you're going to have to do. And that should help towards that. It also says that what's good for the goose is good for the gander, and groups within digital develop models that could potentially be used around the corporation, that they also are going to have to adhere to whatever standards are put in place.
I think you can follow the same Dexin, which was, you can develop these standards, but if I'm developing a model for myself and not for anybody else, I'll go ahead and do it my own way. If you want to take it, that's fine. And the vendors are developing VHDL models, certainly not any standards that we haven't developed yet. So we're going to be pulling in models from vendors that don't have four state or seven state representations, and we're going to be using them. And the vendor's not going to have anything else available. So you can tell them we're not going to buy them from them, but it's not necessarily going to force them to turn around and develop a better model. So to me, it seems like we should talk to vendors and find out if there is some guideline that they're using to develop their models under.
I'm a vendor.
Okay. And if there is some source of guidelines that they use to develop their models, find out how to affect that guideline. And
I think it. In essence, that's what I'm saying. You always come down to a situation is, I have a model. It may not meet your standards, but you need to get a product out. I mean, there are going to be those kind of exceptions, but what I worry about, if we don't adhere to some reasonable guidelines and we're buying models from other places or they're supplying them, there is no impetus, if there is no cost to those folks, for changing anything.
Yeah.
And so we have to attempt to leverage DEC as a corporation. I know it's a strong statement to say, unless you supply in this way, we aren't going to do business with you. But we can't afford to lose complete leverage, and they give us whatever they feel like giving us. That's sort of the flip side of the coin.
As a developer, if push came to shove, I just buy the model and write a thin shell around it that did the type conversion.
You can't write thin shells around two-state behavioral models to get fault propagation.
Correct. But VHDL doesn't do a terribly good job of fault propagation anyway.
Well, at some point you're attempting to get your VHDL simulation simulated. Fault simulation
number. Right.
And if the models that vendors are supporting don't synthesize, since they're not at that level of detail, you don't have an alternate model, you're stuck.
Yeah.
tools that we're trying to maintain and get other tools like Dexing to implement, just kind of flapping out in the breeze in terms of time verification and fault simulation. And those standards just aren't there yet. As the NAC group was doing, a simulating a pilot was solving that problem for them today.
Yeah.
Because they have models, other sources of models to use.
Yeah. I guess that's what I was saying in my presentation as well, that we'll end up with something like that, because VHDL itself can't hack the timing, can't hack the fault, or there are no defined algorithms for how to propagate faults. Yeah? I agree. But at least we're no worse off than we are today with Dexsim.